All right, we are beginning a new chapter. We are beginning Exodus chapter 5. I have entitled this chapter, Thus Says Who? Thus Says Who? Exodus chapter 5 begins, Afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus says the Lord, or Thus says Yahweh, God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me, a festival in my honor in the wilderness. I want to call something to your attention that if you are a faithful Bible reader, you might read over it because it is in the Bible so much. And it's some version of these four words, Thus says the Lord. Or the old King James was, Thus saith the Lord. Right? But you will find that. In fact, sometimes when you don't find that formula, you don't find the thus, you still find the says the Lord. And I want to say to you, when you and I study the Bible, we're not just studying one of the most remarkable pieces of literature that's ever existed in the history of mankind. We are studying a book that comes from the mouth of God. It is foolish to wonder what God wants you to know when He sends you a book. And in that book, He says over and over and over again, Thus says me. So it is interesting to me, first, as a Baptist, that we hold the Bible in such high regard. We study it. We preach it. We try to get people to read it daily. We are constantly talking about the Bible, annoyingly so sometimes. It's as if we don't have anything to talk about except the Bible. Sometimes perhaps we swing the pendulum a bit too far, but in light of the fact that we are in a culture who doesn't have a North Star on which to set north, their compass is like a wheel of fortune dial. It is refreshing as a person who takes the Bible seriously. It is encouraging for me to be able to say first to myself, look, this isn't Billy Graham's opinion. This isn't Brother Bill's opinion. This isn't my opinion. This is Thus saith the Lord. And there's something wonderful about that. And then I'll flip this on its side. I can tell you, and you can know a great deal about your spiritual condition or my spiritual condition based on the way I respond to Thus saith the Lord. How you respond to Thus saith the Lord is telling. It is either an indication that you are going to be blessed of God, or it is an indication that you are going to miss lots of blessing from God. I grew up with Dad giving lots of speeches. That's the way my dad parented. They weren't always long, but he never tired of giving you the same speech over and over and over again. And often in the speech, there was a question, a conspicuous question, and it is this, are you listening? And Thus saith the Lord functions like that in the Bible a lot. Are you listening? Are you listening? Am I listening? To be clear, I don't know everything I need to know. It's a standing joke. I'll use this line until I'm dead. People don't always find humor in it, but it's true. I really do want to die knowing everything, and I am way behind. I don't know everything. I am grateful that I have friends with all kinds of gifts, and the older I get, especially when there's an area that I don't have expertise in, I'm less and less reluctant to call them. Why is it that we have an all-knowing God? And he says, he speaks, and even assures us, this is me talking. And he often meets us with lots of neglect. We're not paying attention. We're not heeding his word. Even worse, we're calling into question that he has spoken. And you realize, you know who you're imitating when you do that? Harken back to Genesis chapter 3. Did God say? Did he actually say that? Ooh. So this is meaningful. I don't want you to skip over it. And we're going to learn something profound about Pharaoh in verse number 2 that is going to give us a perfect indication of where the next several chapters in the book of Exodus are going to go, because how you respond to thus saith the Lord is telling. And here's the thus saith the Lord. Moses delivers it to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh in verse 2 tells us volumes. Listen to this. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice, that I should listen to him to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. I do not know Yahweh, nor will I let Israel go. Now, if there is anything affirmative that we can say about Pharaoh, it is at this point he was telling the truth. It is all to his shame, but he was telling the truth. He did not know Yahweh. He did not know the Lord God of Israel. He is saying something in more ordinary English. One of the commentators, I think, said this well. He basically said, why should I take this God seriously? I will say, if I were clever enough to fix this, I could put this in the mouth of our culture right now. I could say, and the American culture says, who is the Lord? Who is Yahweh? That we should obey his voice, that we should listen to him to do anything that he says. This is where our culture is right now. Now, to some degree, we are aided by this because all we have to do to look different is to care what God says. And to say, no, we do know what God says, and we do know him, and we do know why we should obey him. Lots of reasons. So, when the culture has taken the position that it has taken, it makes it much easier for us to stand in contrast. And in some way, that is a gift. When I was growing up in the South 45 years ago, there weren't a whole lot of people who would openly profess anything like this. But now, they will take a sign and they will march right down Capitol Street in Jackson, Mississippi, proudly saying, who is the Lord that we should listen to him? This again is not new, and it is not over. Psalm 14, you'll recognize the beginning of this chapter. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Boy, that's pretty pessimistic, isn't it? Makes me wonder if the psalmist didn't have a subscription to the New York Times or the Washington Post. And then several hundred years later, we have the Apostle Paul. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their mouths they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps, that's a viper, it's a poisonous snake, is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Look, we're relieved if we watch the Louisville News Channel or the Indianapolis News Channel and we go through one whole 30-minute broadcast and nobody killed anybody else. The people who say that the Bible is antiquated have not read it recently at all. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. Wow, that is a line. If somebody wants peace today, they want it at somebody else's expense. And though they don't say it in these words, I would be willing to bet you that more than half the people that see therapists in the modern age are looking for peace. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Isn't it marvelous? This sounds like a description of Pharaoh. Like, he's got these immigrants that have come into his land. The original immigrant brought salvation. Joseph did. Remember him? But now his family comes in. They're blessed. They grow. They're numerous. Now they're a threat. You don't ask them to leave. You begin to try to subjugate them. You punish them. You victimize them. You turn them into slaves. Moses comes delivering a word from God. You need to stop that. You need to let those people go. Who is he? Why should I pay any attention to whatever God you're talking about? We got plenty of gods here. Why would I worry about you bringing me one more? Verse number 3. So they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert, to the wilderness, and sacrifice to the Lord, to Yahweh, our God. Look at this. I don't know that I've noticed this before when I've read Exodus, so I want you to see this. Lest he, that would be God, lest he, God, fall upon us. That would be the Hebrews, wouldn't it? That would be the Israelites. Lest he fall upon us, lest he strike us, lest he kill us with pestilence, with plague, or with the sword. Now, the first thing I would just call to your attention here is that in Near Eastern protocol, when you want something really, really big, you don't ask for it. Actually, sometimes politely, you ask for something really, really small, and the person knows that what you really want isn't the small thing, it's something else. You're just being gentle in the way that you ask for it. It's like the little kid who has a favorite dessert. And the favorite dessert is chocolate pie. It doesn't materialize in thin air overnight. And the kid understands that. So the kid doesn't come to mom and say, you know what, I would really like one of those amazing chocolate pies that takes 4 hours to make. The little kid says, do we have any dessert tonight, Mom? You know, Mom, it's been a long time since we've had some of that chocolate pie. I wonder when we could have some of that again. See all the finesse? See, working up to trying to somehow coax Mom into getting that particular dessert that the kid wants. That doesn't come out bluntly and ask for everything that he wants to start with. Right? Just ask that initial question, is there anything for dessert? Knowing what he wants to do is work up to asking for the chocolate pie. That's what's happening here. Now, there's a principle here, though, in this question. When they ask Pharaoh for permission to leave and to have this festival, to have this feast, the principle is first, if we know that God wants us to obey him and he wants us to leave and he wants us to go and worship him in the wilderness, if we know he wants us to do that and it's in our power to do it and we don't do it, we don't pursue it, we don't try to do what he's asked us to do, then the fault is ours and so is the punishment. Right, if they held their peace and they didn't go to Pharaoh and they didn't ask for permission to leave, they didn't pursue the opportunity to do the thing that God had called them to do, if they don't do that, that's not Pharaoh's problem, it's their problem. If we do not go and we do not try to worship, we don't make the attempt, then we're responsible. But on the other hand, Pharaoh, if you prevent us, if you stop us, then you're responsible. And obviously this trajectory is also going to help us anticipate the next several chapters, isn't it? Because the next several chapters are going to be Pharaoh indeed preventing the children of Israel from taking that journey into the desert, into the wilderness, and worshiping God. They're not going to be allowed to do that. This isn't nearly on the same scale, but I remember the conversation, even though it's now decades old. But when I finished seminary, I was not yet 25 years old. I was looking for a place to pastor, and I was unmarried. And many of the same apprehensions about a 25-year-old man who isn't married, you would have now, they had them then. Things like, okay, we're inviting a young man into our church who doesn't have an outlet for sexual desire, and that means we're going to be worried about how he's going to relate to the women in our congregation, or he's gay. So there were lots of opportunities that I never got because I did not have a spouse. Two of the opportunities that materialized, speaking in fleshly terms here, One of them was in Kingwood, West Virginia, and the other was in Coushatta, Louisiana. Those of you who are familiar with geography know that Mississippi and Louisiana are neighboring states. The trip from my house to Coushatta was, 2.5 hours drive, something like that. It was a country church. It was a small church in Louisiana in a rural part of the state. The people were very friendly. They were very kind. I enjoyed preaching there. I enjoyed the interview process. And it was a rather informal congregation. There was an older gentleman who seemed to me to be the patriarch of the congregation, and he was the leader of the search committee. And he basically said, this is what the budget is, and we've got a parsonage, and if the church grows, then you'll be blessed. You know, we'll reward you, but this is what there is right now. And he was very practical. And at the same time, I was scheduled to go to West Virginia and interview there and preach there. And I said to my dad, and I said to those that were in my inner circle at the time, look, I know that Coushatta, Louisiana is much closer than West Virginia. It's 1,000 miles to the place where I'm considering. But there are plenty of pastors in the Deep South. If I don't go to Coushatta, Louisiana, there'll be a line of people that are willing to go. But there aren't many people from Mississippi who are going to uproot themselves and go to West Virginia, and I need to go where I'm most needed. And my dad was very practical, like, you know, you would expect a dad to be. If you're in Coushatta, Louisiana, you're closer. And obviously, we're family people. We love you. We want you to be close if we have the choice. But we're not going to stand in the way of you doing whatever God calls you to do. And that was the utterance, and that utterance has stood until now. This is the way we are supposed to be. We are supposed to say, if I have my rathers, this is what I'll have. But whatever God has for you to do, you better do that. And woe be unto the person who thinks that they're privileged and they can stand in the way of what God has for someone else to do. All right. I've had a good time in the Word today. I preached 3 times. I'm getting ready to go home, go to bed. But thank you for being here, and thank you for loving the Word and leaning in and listening, because thus saith the Lord. And He deserves to have an audience. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the faithfulness that you manifest toward us. Thank you for how you meet us in your Word. When we lean in and listen attentively, you are faithful to speak to us, to direct us, to guide us, to help us understand the world that we're living in, to show us how to heed your call and to obey. Continue to direct us, prompt us, guide us, empower us, make us useful to those around us for your sake. This is what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.